The Brad Sesmatch Show, broadcasting live from the ShopTates.com studios.
It's a good Monday. Thanks for being with us, Brad Sesmatch, on Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports. Good to be partnered with the Arizona Republic, White Mountain Radio across the great state of Arizona, and on Twitter at Brad Sesmatch. On the show today, Matt McConnell will join us in about 45 minutes, voice of the Coyotes, Fox Sports Arizona. In about 30 minutes, Paula Bovin, news and notes, columnist, AZ Central Sports, friend first, columnist second. Paula Bovin, some thoughts on, just a whole bunch of stuff. It was a lost weekend here in Arizona. Man, the Diamondbacks were brutal, just awful. What else? The Coyotes, just dreadful, not making it in the postseason. What else? The Suns were just... You blow a 21-point lead at San Antonio, and now it's on you. You need help. I mean, you control your destiny, but you need some help. So that's kind of a weird deal. You control it by going out and winning your games, but on the other hand, you need some help with Memphis having to lose another game. So there just was nothing good that happened this weekend. U of A today losing Aaron Gordon. If you're a U of A basketball fan, you're not surprised by this, but... But, you know, so all in all, I was a Masters guy this weekend. It was terrific to – I've heard and read and even had some people on Twitter yesterday saying the Masters, Brad, is boring because there's no Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson. Very tired narrative that you could have gone to last Tuesday or Wednesday people were talking about it. I actually thought that seeing a 20-year-old – against a guy that hits the ball 360 yards. If anything, what we saw yesterday, remember the narrative of tiger-proofing Augusta a few years back? We got to tiger-proof the course. Well, now you have to Bubba-proof it. Because when Bubba Watson uses a 9-iron and hits the ball 189 yards with a 9-iron, I don't know anybody that can do that. When Bubba does a punch-out on 15... with a huge lead, and David Faraday is about to choke on his microphone because he can't believe what Bubba's doing. That was just fun. It was just fun. Senior Executive Vice President of Everything and Nothing, Eric Sorensen, in today. You didn't watch the Masters. You're not a Masters guy. Did you watch baseball yesterday? Or
this is what I did yesterday. Yeah? So I started off watching the Diamondbacks, and I luckily turned the TV on right around the time, I think it was the second or third inning, when Trevor Cahill had just given up the three-run homer to
Adrian
Gonzalez.
That's when he's in his prime. That's when he's deep into a game is in the second and third inning.
His pitch count was at like 79 pitches through two and a third innings.
It's sad that it's predictable. We're going to see four and a third. We're going to see seven runs. We're going to see six hits. We're going to see five walks. He's going to strike some guys out, so we're going to hear he's just this close. Yeah,
He's got good stuff.
And Matt Kemp hit one that would have taken anybody's head off down the left field line.
Correct.
Left a dent in the bullpen yesterday. Let's not sit here and pretend the Adrian Gonzalez shot forced the U.S. Airways and Southwest Airlines planes to land from east to west. You couldn't go in there because it was so high.
The Diamondbacks are 4-11. Just let that settle in for a minute.
They're 1-8 at home.
4-11.
Nine times at home. Hey, fans, come watch us. And 8 of the 9 times, they get drilled. So you watch that.
A little bit. And then I flipped on the Masters for a while. And then there was just too much other stuff going on outside the house. So we went to see Captain America.
That's probably a pretty
Ta-da!
Wide
move. Yeah, Ta-da! Exactly.
Because the Masters... I put on Twitter, it was like about 2:30 yesterday. I was just kicking, watching. I put, okay, so how many strokes is Bubba going to win by? And then I took a nap for like, I don't know, 20. I was out. It was just, we knew what was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
It was, when people talk about how Jordan Spieth is 20, okay, that's not a big deal anymore.
No.
On one hand, it is that, wow, a 20-year-old. On the other hand, I don't know, when you're 19 and you're playing in the NBA... And when you're brought up early in Major League Baseball, when your guy, you know, I can point to Mike Trout, okay? I can look around and point to Bryce Harper in baseball. In the NBA, I can point to LeBron James. I can point to Carmelo Anthony. I can point to these guys that were young. Yeah, there's Anthony Bennett who crashed and burned and was dreadful. Or this June when there's going to be a bunch of 19-year-olds that are coming out. So on one hand, it's, well, this is spectacular and amazing. When I watched Jordan Spieth sit there yesterday and pound his club after missing a shot and just watch Bubba Watson say, this kid mentally isn't there yet. He was there for about five holes. And then around the sixth and seventh hole, he started making mistakes. And then he's grinding his club. And it's fine. He's going to need some experience.
And Bubba's already won there. So for him to actually go through it all and win it helped him tremendously over the weekend.
He was crushing it yesterday.
Yeah, he was.
I mean, just on a couple of those drives, he'd outdrive him by 30, 40 yards. So, well, that's fine. Captain America's fine. But locally, it's just a train wreck. Let's get you caught up some things on my mind in the world of sports. Brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. The Honda Resort and Casino in the beautiful White Mountains. You pull on down the slot. And, of course, there's great winnings at the Honda Resort and Casino. What a terrific place to be as you're making your summer plans to get out of the valley or around the state and head up to the White Mountains. You have your summer home up there. You're going to open up the cabin. You're going to open up that summer home. And then you're thinking, let's go out and have great food, great fun. That's at the Honda Resort and Casino, just outside of Pine Top in the White Mountains. Honda Resort and Casino, they've been a part of Sports 360 since day number one. So a little bit more on the Masters coming up. I'm going to talk about a guy named Jeff Knox. Jeff Knox is the marker at Augusta. That is a tournament representative who plays in the event that an odd number of players make the cut. Many tournaments simply send the odd man out on his own. But at Augusta, they actually said, hey, you're going to be playing with somebody because we got to even out the field. So they put him with Rory McIlroy. Here's a guy that's just, he's just there. He's like one of the dudes. Hey, why don't you go play with Rory today here at Augusta? Rory McIlroy is the 51st and final player to make the cut, meaning that Knox got to tee it up Saturday morning with a two-time major champ. Not a bad way to spend the day. The purpose of the marker, you're thinking, okay, what is the marker all about? The purpose of the marker is to keep the pros' scorecard and to help with the pace of play. But the guy's out there by himself, so he'll have somebody out there with him. This guy, though, that played at Augusta holds the course record. He shot a 61 back in 2002, so he was no stiff. This guy, the marker, has been able to go play with Craig Stadler. He outdrove Miguel Angel Jimenez on both the first and 10th tees. Even though Jimenez said, don't do that, he outdrove Jimenez. In 2006, this guy played with Sergio Garcia. The two made the round interesting with a little wager. Knox won by a stroke. Garcia reportedly didn't shake his hand afterwards. So we know how that went. Jim Furyk said that this guy Knox could beat half the field who made the cut. I kind of like the backstory at a place like Augusta. Obviously, the big story was Bubba Watson. Here is Bubba on winning his second green jacket in a span of 3 years.
To be with the great names that you just said, you know, again, small-town guy named Bubba now has two green jackets. It's pretty wild. I know my mom's probably watched at home. Wish she was here, but yeah, it's pretty cool.
Did you see, Eric, the picture of Bubba at the Waffle House last night?
Oh, of course. I did.
That was awesome.
That is Bubba Watson, though.
Awesome.
You know, the Dukes of Hazzard car, the Waffle House, small-town guy.
I got to pull over to the Waffle House and get this done. So, you know, Bubba's a Ping guy, and Ping is based in Glendale, so Bubba will be back in the Valley. Bubba's at a lot of Suns games. He has a strong connection here to the Valley. Here's Jordan Spieth, missing a huge opportunity, had the lead, sought Fritter away in about a span of 20 minutes yesterday.
The only thing I'm thinking about is, you know, when am I getting back next year? I mean, that's what's on my mind because it's tough. It's tough being in this position. You know, obviously I worked my whole life to lead Augusta on Sunday. And although I feel like it's very early in my career and I'll have more chances, it's a stinger.
So worked your whole life? Dude, you're like 19 or 20.
You're 20. He left after he was a one and done at Texas. Jay Billis went on a little rant yesterday about that. Kind of interesting. One and dones in college basketball.
That is interesting.
NCAA all up in arms.
I've worked my whole life. I can't even drink a beer legally.
Well, it was like 4 years ago he was winning an amateur deal, and here he is at Augusta. So where would you put a green jacket in terms of significance? If in your sport, let's say you had a man cave, let's say you had one of those deals that had all sorts of sports memorabilia. If you could have one item in sports, is there anything better in sports than having a green jacket? You know, you think about the Hall of Fame jacket in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Those guys get those yellow jackets they put on.
Having the Stanley Cup would be pretty cool, but I don't think any one person could have that since it tours around the world. But
would you win a ring for being in a Super Bowl, or you win a ring for winning a title?
Okay. Green jacket's more prestigious, though, because it's an individual. It's you against a field of hundreds.
Okay. What's better, a green jacket at Augusta or an Olympic gold medal?
An Olympic gold medal.
Because?
You're representing your country and you're competing against the world.
But if it's a team sport versus an individual sport.
No, that's a little different.
Okay, so if you can only have it on your own, if it's winning, it's like Michael Phelps announced today that he's coming back to the Olympics. This is not a shock. This is not breaking news, but it's a Monday, and of course it's a big deal. Hey, call me goofy, call me wacky. I'm guessing we're going to see some Michael Phelps commercials with so much jack around them. I decided to get back into training, so I had to take my Visa and go swipe it, and I had to go buy all this Nike gear. And he's going to get checks from all over the place.
He's probably bored, Brad.
Of course.
He's filthy rich, and when you're a world-class Olympic athlete, I mean, it's not like Michael Phelps is in season or anything. He's just hanging out, making money. Sure, I'll train for the Olympics again. Why not? I've got nothing else going on.
I've already hosted SNL.
Yep.
I've already tried to play golf. I've already been on the Golf Channel. They did the makeover with me. Did he do Dancing with the Stars?
I forget. I don't think so.
I forget. Has he been in a reality show yet? Because that's usually...
I'm sure somewhere he has.
That's usually the tour by the PR weasel.
He's dated the supermodels and the actresses.
Yeah.
He's done it all.
He's got a little crazy. I mean, some stuff's come out
about
him going crazy.
They all do.
It's fine. Have some fun. But there's usually an image. It's not image rehab in his case. It's just, okay, what else can I do? He'll go to show up on the circuit at all sorts of banquets and functions. That gets boring after a while. So, of course, I'm going to go compete again. And I'm going to take my slot machine handle and pull it down, and I'm just going to pull in all this jack. So, yeah, an Olympic gold medal for Michael Phelps versus a green jacket. I think in American sports, on a yearly basis, would it be winning the Daytona 500? You got to race through a bunch of cars. You have to navigate through just like you do at Augusta. Bubba Watson winning with 8-under. Is that enough for the Masters folks, or do they have to Bubba-proof Augusta? I liked yesterday. I was not bored with yesterday. Some people were. It was predictable. That's what I'm saying. Also predictable. When Adrian Gonzalez walks into Chase Field, balls go a long, long ways many, many times. I got to talk about the Diamondbacks. I'm grumpy. Tonight is the big night for the Phoenix Suns. It's really do or die. We're at the spring game for U of A. We'll get into that too. Brad Sussmat, sports360az.com, AZ Central Sports on Twitter, at Brad Sussmat.
Like our Facebook fan page for unique Arizona sports content from the high schools to the pros. Facebook.com/sports360az.
Sports360az.com, Brad Sussmat. It is a good Monday. Hope you had yourself a great weekend. A little bit more on that Michael Phelps story now. Michael Phelps is going to return to competitive swimming. Eric, this Michael Phelps story is taking a local angle. He's actually going to compete in Mesa as his first stop in coming back.
Oh, that won't be a poop show or anything.
Oh, my gosh.
Jeez.
It is April 24th through the 26th at the Skyline Aquatic Center. So this is from Jeff Metcalf of AZ Central Sports. Jeff is terrific, one of the more underrated people in our profession in the Valley. Doesn't get nearly enough attention. He's awesome. So his Michael Phelps first match back will be here in Arizona. That is awesome. That is a great story. Here's Jared Cohen now from sports360az.com. I'm going to get over to the Diamondbacks and Suns in a minute. Jared just left ASU. ASU today, did they take a wrecking ball to the stadium? Because today was the day that they started really tearing apart the north end zone. Was there anything worthwhile out there today?
Well, there was no wrecking ball. That would have been really cool.
Disappointing.
That would have been really fun to be a part of and see. But no, they did start really making some ground on clearing out the space to be able to bring out the wrecking ball. They got rid of that little skybox they had at the top of the north end zone. They put that on a crane, hooked it up, and brought it out and took it out over the stadium. And as I was walking out here to buy the end, they were taking down all those signs that have some advertisement on the other side facing the 101 or 202 freeway, that big ASU sign.
Yeah.
Those are coming down today as well. So they're making quite a bit of ground today before they could bring the wrecking balls out. Unfortunately, though, no wrecking balls for me. That was something I was really looking forward to. So maybe we'll catch that a little later on.
Any guy that doesn't want to see a wrecking ball hit a stadium, or when they put dynamite and blow up a building, they're not guys, right? Yeah, this is what we want to see.
I guess my inner 12-year-old was really hoping that we would see some stuff blowing up today.
Sure, absolutely. But so what is the timeline on the wrecking ball hitting Sun Devil Stadium? Because I'm not joking about this. Today was the first day Jared was there. Do we know when the wrecking ball is going to hit the stadium?
Unfortunately, I have not received any word of when that would be. I'm guessing that's going to be very soon, though. You know, they're like I said, we're clearing out the space to be able to do so. And the plan is to completely open up that back area so that there's a kind of that flat ground lounge area, kind of like we saw in Jerry's World in Dallas. So so I'm sure that's going to happen soon. It looks like they're just paving the way to make that happen. And that'll be fun to watch whenever it does.
Jared Cohen with us. He's actually at the Coyotes too, and stepped out on that for a second to join us. You were in Tucson on Saturday for the U of A spring game. Give me about 45 seconds for the U of A football fan. Was there any separation at all from quarterbacks? Is there anything they could take from the quarterback battle that you saw Saturday in Tucson?
I actually thought there was some stuff that we could take away from that. Everyone got equal reps for the most part, basically between the main three or four guys. Those four guys were Jesse Scroggins, Connor Brewer from Chaparral / Texas, now at U of A, Anu Solomon, the young sophomore, and then Gerard Randall, another quarterback prospect they have. And there were three other guys that got reps. Can't see any of those guys playing. But from watching it, and I wrote about this on 4360AZ.com, Jesse Scroggins stood out to me just because he really looks the part. He's a big, got a big frame. He's a presence. He's got a nice arm. There were a few throws that he made that kind of were an indication of why they didn't exactly trust him to get onto the field last season.
Right.
But, you know, he stood out to me. And after that, I'd go Connor Brewer or Anu Solomon in no particular order as the two other guys in the mix. Both made some nice throws. Both managed the field well. To be honest, though, the defense did not look so great. They looked a little shaky. I don't know if there was anything to that. So I don't know if that helped make some of these quarterbacks look a little bit better than they actually are, or if the defense just didn't show up to play, or the quarterbacks are really that good.
All right.
But I'd have to say Jesse Scroggins, to me, was the one that stood out the most during the spring game.
All right, get back into the Coyotes. I'll let you go off that. There's Jared Cohen. He's out of the Coyotes today. They're cleaning out their lockers. In about 25 minutes, Matt McConnell, the voice of the Coyotes for Fox Sports Arizona, is going to join me. And I have to be very direct on this. Is there something going on internally beyond just, hey, we didn't play well down the stretch? When you lose seven games in a row, that just speaks to me and screams to me that there's something beneath the surface. When you're in a playoff push, it's not just, oh, we just didn't get the pucks to bounce the right way and all that. And of course, today will be the day that we don't hear anymore about upper body extremities and lower body extremities. They'll actually say who's hurt. It's one of these hockey traditions that we just can't tell you what's wrong with Mike Smith, but we have to see Thomas Greiss here let goals go by him again and again. Now to the Diamondbacks. And this is going to make me, if this is how it's going to be all year, because you can't put Trevor Cahill in the bullpen at $20 million, but here's becoming a staple part of a Trevor Cahill pitched game. You're going to get a couple of these.
The 1-1 pitch is unloaded, a mile high and halfway up the right field stands. And the Dodgers lead 5-0 again against Arizona. Whoa, did Adrian unload?
Yeah. When Vin gets excited like that, and it's the historic, iconic Vin Scully. Here's Gibby after the game on trying to explain the problems of Trevor Cahill.
Again, you'd have to talk to Trevor about that, and with Trevor and I, these conversations, you know, we have that we keep those between ourselves. I'm not trying to be, you know, rude to you guys, but I mean, I don't have an explanation for it. We all know he has good stuff. He hasn't been consistent. We're not where we want to be. I guess the screenplay has been one that we don't want to play again tomorrow. So we certainly will examine how we can fix that.
That is a manager that has no chance in this situation. Here's Trevor Cahill after the game.
Threw too many pitches, too many bad pitches. You know, walked guys and, you know, most of them ended up scoring. Oh, I mean, it was that, you know, the big, that one big inning, just kind of let it snowball, and I got to find a way to kind of stop the bleeding there.
So watching Jordan Spieth yesterday at the Masters, about the same time that Trevor Cahill was getting hammered and just having bombs hit off him, and Spieth's only 20, but Trevor Cahill, you could just physically see him unravel yesterday. That was the hardest part of this deal for me. It's predictable now. It's almost like the minute one thing goes wrong, everything else snowballs. And they're on the hook for $20 million for him. And so it's easy to say, hey, he sucks, get him out of there. It's very easy for fans to say that. But when you have $20 million tied up in him, you can't just say, go to the bullpen and we're going to make you our long relief guy and you're going to get it figured out down there. I said in the offseason, I was not big on having McCarthy and Cahill back here. And what have I seen out of McCarthy and Cahill so far this season? The same stuff where there's moments, especially with McCarthy, where there's moments where you say, oh, this is pretty good. But the results are almost always the same. And so when we're sitting here and I see that the Diamondbacks on Friday were trying to sign Randy Wolf. Ken Kendrick was on with us on Friday and he talked about Randy Wolf in a way that made it sound like they were trying to make the move happen. Eric, it's fair to say that when we had Ken on Friday, the Randy Wolf thing sounded like it was further down the road than anything else that was
going
on.
Yeah, and it did. They signed him to a minor league deal. But again, that's just
okay.
That's just a minor league deal. And
so they sign him, but that's what you have to work with because, once again, fans, guys, let me be real straight here on this. Let me just look deep into the camera. Diamondback management, ownership, fans don't want to see Trevor Cahill. They don't want to see Brandon McCarthy. In fact, they probably don't want to see Randy Wolf. They want to see Archie Bradley, and they don't want to hear about getting his clock started too soon. They don't want to hear about how he needs more seasoning down on the farm.
And it doesn't sound like, Brad, that Cahill's going to make another. It sounds like, from the things I've seen on Twitter today, that he's going to get yanked out of the rotation.
But
no big surprise there. But again, what are you going to do with him?
It's $20 million.
Exactly.
Okay? It's that we're sitting here with a real big problem that we're only a couple of weeks into this season, and that they couldn't have foreseen this coming, and that they said, we're going to give Cahill another run. Well, they had to because financially nobody's going to touch that contract. And so they've really botched this in ways where they've got their arms tied. The fans are furious, and they should be furious, that they're continuing to see guys put out there when there's someone down on the farm, but there's a financial reason why. Look, I went crazy when they brought Justin Upton up here too soon. And it was very clear Justin Upton shouldn't have been up here. I think D.D. Gregorius last year was rushed up here and wasn't quite ready to play. So I'm okay with the Archie Bradley. We want to give him some seasoning. But he's running through guys down in Reno. Well, he had a few walks. It's down in Reno. If you're going to just say he walked a couple more guys than you want, again, you're holding back because of the financial side of getting his clock started. That's it. So to go get these stopgaps, to go get these veteran guys to bring in here or to sit through more of the same makes no sense. Now their bullpen is turned upside down because they have to stick Josh Coleman in there. Look, I understand the Corbin injury put him behind the eight ball.
As well as David Hernandez.
And the Hernandez injury, I get both of those things. But you have a solution on one hand. You've got to at some point say, guys, we've given this a few weeks. It's four starts for Cahill. I've seen enough. I've seen this movie. It's predictable. We can sit here and say, Cahill's pitching tonight. It's going to be 4 1/3. He's going to give up 7 hits, 5 earned runs. And people say you're being a smart aleck about it. No. Am I wrong? Nothing's changed.
And in speaking of broken records, Brad, I don't want to re-harp this over and over, but our baseball insider Pedro Gomez told you in week one of the season, you cannot win the NL West
right
in April. But guess what? You can lose it. 3 weeks later, the Diamondbacks are 4-11.
Oh, I mean, and to hear Cahill try to talk about this, he has to know. I'm somewhat sympathetic to him, even though I probably shouldn't be. If I was given $20 million and I couldn't walk into the studio and get an interview on the air and link a noun and a verb, I'd be feeling immense pressure. So I get that, but he's got to fight through it.
Your salary's right around there, maybe a little bit.
Of course.
Bit less,
my decimal point's moving all the time. Paula Bovin is next. News and Notes, AZ Central Sports columnist. Then we'll have Matt McConnell with us, the voice of the Phoenix Coyotes. The Coyotes are done. The Suns could be done tonight. The Diamondbacks look done. 1-8 in home games. Whew. Whew. Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter at Brad Sussmat.
For original, in-depth Arizona sports news you care about, follow us on Twitter at Sports360AZ. Giving you the inside slant on the weekend's biggest stories, it's time for News and Notes with AZ Central sports columnist Paula Bovin. Here again, Brad Sussmat.
News and Notes, Paula Bovin, AZ Central sports columnist, my friend, not in that particular order. We appreciate her joining us for a couple of minutes as she does every Monday. Where do you want to start? Because there's not much good going on other than your colleague, Jeff Metcalf, with a terrific story that Michael Phelps is going to come out of retirement here in Mesa.
Yeah, I think that's a great story. I think, you know, just that it's happening here, give opportunity for people in town to go see him. And yeah, that was pretty fun to see.
Yeah. Now, have you interviewed him before, Phelps?
You know what? I never have. I've never covered the Summer Olympics, only the winter. And so I usually don't cover swimming events otherwise.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I'll be intrigued to, you know, see what he does here.
Absolutely.
All right, let's get into the, you want to go Diamondbacks, Suns, Coyotes, the
so you
carnage.
You want to be depressing.
Yeah, the carnage and wreckage. Where do you want to start?
I'll just turn it over to you. Let's start Diamondbacks, I guess.
All right.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No, just where are you at on this whole thing with Cahill at this point?
Well, obviously it's a concern. It doesn't seem isolated. My big thing with this team, and it clearly it's panic mode. I mean, they have the worst record in baseball, a horrible record at home. I think they have the worst ERA in baseball. I mean, all these numbers are terrible, and I want to give it a few weeks because their schedule, I mean, they've started out with a brutal schedule for them, and I think, you know, out of their next four or five series, only one of their series, and I think it's against the Dodgers, is a team with a winning record right now. So I'm curious to see how they look with the schedule gets a little better. But the bottom line is they don't have the pieces to be successful. And I know it was a tough break with what happened with Corbin, but it sure seems like it's more than that, Brad.
So yesterday, did you see yesterday's game, Paula, by chance?
I didn't. I just saw highlights.
Okay. Well, there weren't many highlights. So there was a stretch where D. Gordon just was running wild on the base paths. And there was a moment in the game where Randall Delgado was on the mound and D. Gordon just decided to take off for second base while Delgado was hanging onto the ball and nobody was aware.
I did see that moment. I remember the cutaway to the dugout and the look on the faces of the coaches was just
so when that happens, and I haven't seen a guy do that necessarily, but I am hearing internally that there is that maybe the players have checked out on Gibby.
Right.
And that there is not the attention to detail, there is not the focus. And you can't deny that. They stole three bases yesterday in about a minute 20 segment of yesterday's game. None of them were close. It's little things that I'm seeing that I think that there's something bigger here than saying, well, let's just give it some time and it'll work itself out.
Well, and, you know, I mean, I have to agree that there might be something with Gibson. And we've seen it for years when guys like Gibson, who had amazing work ethics, who as players, who didn't need to be motivated, who gave, you know, the cliche 110% and then some, become managers. At times, they have expectations that every player is the way they are. And that's clearly not the case in any professional sport. Guys need different buttons pushed. They're motivated differently. Some are not self-starters, even getting to this level. So you just wonder if maybe there is some disconnect right now with Gibby and some of these players.
I had Ken Kendrick on Friday's show, mm-hmm. and it was not the place for me to say, what are you going to do with your manager? Because I know I'm not going to get anything out of him, so I don't even go there.
Right.
But he did use Enigma again describing Trevor Cahill, and I had to chuckle when I said, what do you make out of Trevor Cahill? He said, well, he's an Enigma. Last time I heard Enigma out of Ken Kendrick, it started a firestorm with Justin Upton.
Right.
So do you take Trevor Cahill and $20 million and put him into the bullpen and hope he gets figured out? Do you continue with Archie Bradley down on the farm? Fans are furious seeing the starting rotation with McCarthy and Cahill in particular not giving them anything, and they want to see the kid. Has the pressure mounted to the point where you want to see Bradley here?
I think so. I mean, there's nothing that suggests everything here is going to get better. It's been so interesting hearing people talk about Cahill, you know, different analysts on TV, and everyone's so mystified at why he can't locate his pitches anymore, why he's lost some movement. I mean, it's not like a real, you know, is there something physical? What's going on? And so it suggests that it's not going to get better. So I'm ready to go a little more drastic, and I think maybe, you know, you never want to rush somebody, but I think maybe this team has to take a deep look at it.
And they didn't rush Bradley last
right.
year,
right?
Which was fine. I thought, and I said this in the last segment, I thought they rushed Justin Upton when they brought him up here. I thought they rushed Didi Gregorius last season. They probably rushed Trevor Bauer. But there's a financial side to it, too, of not bringing Bradley up now because it gets his clock started on his arbitration.
Right.
I don't want to hear about that. Okay. Ken Kendrick, as he said to me, I've got $110 million put into this team this year. Biggest payroll they've ever had. Worst record in baseball. So I think he could probably find a way to work through Bradley's deal in 2 years from now. Let's not sit here and let the season slip away.
Well, no. And I mean, you think of what this will do to attendance. This is not an audience in the Valley that is committed to this team no matter what. I mean, they're fickle. It's just the way this community is to a certain extent. And if they're going to start losing fans, I mean, that's another financial thing they got to balance with this other financial decision. So I'm with you, Brad. I mean, I think they've got to not worry too much about those numbers you were talking about and try to put the best team that they can on this field.
Paula Bova News and Notes, AZ Central sports columnist with Brad Susmat. Report today, not surprised that Aaron Gordon is going to leave the U of A, that Nick Johnson is going to leave the U of A. Hollis Jefferson leaning towards staying, but still considering it. You're not surprised by this bit of news, are you?
No, not at all. I mean, I've said from day one, you know, Aaron Gordon, while he's got things to work on his game, he's a top 10 pick, and some are even saying a top 5 pick now. Why wouldn't you go out if you were him? And Nick Johnson, I mean, I think he probably feels he's sort of reached what he can do as a player. I mean, he's not going to grow a couple more inches, and that's maybe one knock against him, and he's developed a lot of his game at UA, and you know, I'm hearing what maybe a low first round, early second round with him. So those don't surprise me at all. The Hollis Jefferson thing will be intriguing because he is really talented, and we know that the NBA is willing to gamble on potential, and so I'm sure he's a bit torn. I know he didn't even play as much, he didn't start, but there may be somebody in his ear telling him to go. So I think he'd be great. It'd be great for him to stay. It'd be valuable for that team, and he would obviously be a starter and contribute a lot, but I'm not 100% sure he's staying either.
What's your gut tell you on the Suns?
As far as if they're making the playoffs?
Yeah. I don't think they're going to make it.
It's only because they're not controlling their destiny anymore, you know, and it's a shame, just as, even as a reporter who does everything to be objective, you've seen the effort this team has put in and how they've responded to their coach, and they're just such an exciting team. I think it's a shame for fans that they won't make it in the postseason, but yeah, I mean, it's not in their hands anymore, and that's the biggest problem, I think.
If they don't make it, I don't think Hornacek wins Coach of the Year, even though I still believe he should. There'll be those that say, well, you know, look at what happened over here and over here,
right,
because there's other candidates that did make the postseason. Do you think it wipes that out for him?
No, I don't, actually. I think if people are smart enough and look at where they were projected, 18 victories, 19 victories, you still have to consider him in the mix. I mean, you know, he's done a remarkable job.
The Coyotes. So
yeah.
I think that this is the first, well, I know this. This new ownership group, they've gone through their first season.
Yep.
They've experienced the bitterness of not making the postseason. Do they do the right thing, in my view, and stand pat? Do the guys, when I say that, I'm talking about Don Maloney and Dave Tippett. There should be no discussion about it. But I do have to put it out there that first-year owners can be crazy. Expectations do change. Do you think there will be any discussion at all from this first-year ownership group? I guess you know them well enough to know that they're going to be sane and sober and not do something rash.
I mean, every indication in the brief conversations I've had with them, but this is more from people who are closer to them, I don't think there's going to be any changes regarding management, nor should they. I mean, I think you still have to respect what Tippett and Maloney have done, but they do need to make some better personnel decisions, and I think they need to, you know, they obviously need a lot of help up front, and they've really got to make some better personnel decisions going into this next season. And I know that I think management has acknowledged that, and I think ownership is willing to even spend a little bit more money, and that would be of great value to this team because, you know, it was very disappointing for fans the way that they ended, and especially because of all the goodwill going into the season of getting this team locked here in the Valley for a while. That was pretty disappointing.
This Saturday is ASU spring football game. Mm-hmm. Are you going?
I am going, yes.
What are you most interested in learning, observing?
I think some of the holes, you know, the what's happening on defense, some of those big names that they lost, you know you're in good shape with Taylor Kelly. That's not going to be an issue. And they've got some obviously talent in the backfield and things like that. I am most interested to see how this defense is shaping up considering the people that they lost.
And last question. So bigger deal, a green jacket, a Hall of Fame, NFL Hall of Fame jacket, or an Olympic gold medal? Which would you want to have?
Green jacket, Hall of Fame jacket, or an Olympic gold medal? Wow, that's a great question. I would say an Olympic gold medal. I just think that it's
a bigger deal.
It's representing, it's a worldwide competition, and that's exciting to me. So that's where I would go.
But if it was a group sport, individual sport, you'd still want it to be an Olympic gold medal.
Right.
All right.
Yeah.
I got you on that. Stay well.
All right,
good to
Brad.
Visit with you as always. See you.
Good to talk to you.
It's Paula Bovin, News and Notes, AZ Central Sports columnist. Appreciate her time as well. So a couple other things on my mind in this segment, and then we're going to talk hockey after the timeout with Matt McConnell, the voice of Fox Sports Arizona, the day that the Coyotes are cleaning out their locker rooms over in Glendale. So tonight, it's pretty simple on the Suns' end of things. They need to win their final two games, and Dallas needs to beat Memphis. That's it. This is not complicated. The Suns had a chance. They blew a 21-point lead against San Antonio without Goran Dragic. They went to Dallas, and they had a chance against Dallas and jacked up some crazy shots at the end. So tonight, this is a playoff game tonight for the Suns. The Suns, I've said this for the last 4 months, whether they make the postseason or not, I don't know if they can replicate next year. I don't know if they can do what they've done this season, if they can take it into next year. I don't know that. I don't think I'm going to need to worry about that because this roster is going to undergo a huge transformation. So tonight, let's see what happens with the Suns. They need to beat Memphis. Dallas needs to beat Memphis. If that happens, the Suns get in. I don't feel good about that. The Diamondbacks tonight, so they have the Mets in town. And at this point, and I don't want to beat Paula over the head with a shovel on this because, I respect her opinion, but we could have argued all day. The Mets, when I hear that the schedule gets easier, well, right now, everybody on the Diamondbacks' schedule is tougher than they are. Everybody. Because the Diamondbacks are the worst team in all of Major League Baseball. So I know it sounds good to say, well, look at the schedule. It kind of smooths out. I don't know, this coming weekend, they're going to be in Los Angeles against the Dodgers once again. And they've proven so far the Dodgers are going to kick them all. I wonder if the Diamondbacks can beat the Dodgers in one game this year. Is there going to be one game? Because so far in Australia and in Arizona, it's not even been a fair fight. It really hasn't. So that's going on. And the ASU football deal, the renovation of Sun Devil Stadium, Jared Cohen was out there earlier. He'll have that story up on sports360az.com. Shortly, he's also over at the Coyotes today. I'm going to be at the Suns tonight. And on the other side, we'll talk about the Coyotes with Matt McConnell, Fox Sports Arizona, voice of the Phoenix Coyotes. That's next. I'm Brad Sussmat, sports360az.com, AZ Central Sports, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter at Brad Sussmat.
For unique angles, content, and guests, check out our podcast center available 24/7, 365 at sports360az.com.
Brad Sussmat, Sports 360 AZ, AZ Central Sports, going to be partnered with the Arizona Republic, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter at Brad Sussmat. Let's talk Coyotes hockey for a couple of minutes. Matt McConnell, Fox Sports Arizona, voice of the Coyotes, joins us. Bitter Monday, disappointing Monday. I don't know how you want to put it from your point of view, the season that just finished up. Take over the show. What do you think, Matt?
you got 16 teams that are headed to the postseason, and a couple of years ago, the Coyotes were one of those teams, and, you know, you just look back and you remember that great playoff run, and you'd love to be a part of it, and you're just not going to be a part of it, and, you know, it's always hard, but, you know, you look towards the future, and you see a lot of good pieces with the Coyotes. Maybe it doesn't cushion the blow all that much, but hopefully they'll be able to bounce back and be ready to go in the fall.
What was the highlight for you this year? I'll get into the lowlights and moving forward. What was the highlight for you this season?
Well, you know, Brad, I'd have to go back to maybe the play of Mike Smith in the second half of the season. He, you know, we were talking about that last night on the air. He, you know, he had that great playoff run a couple of years ago, and you know, I just think back to that performance he had two springs ago against Chicago in Game 6. It might have been the best goaltending performance I've ever seen in my life. He was just tremendous. And, you know, last year he struggled a little bit. He, you know, it was a lockout shortened season. I think a lot of the goaltenders around the league struggled. And, you know, he never really gained his form. And so we came into this year kind of wondering, you know, what Mike Smith are we going to see? And I think we saw the old Mike Smith pretty much down the stretch before he got hurt in that Ranger game. And I think that was probably the highlight for me. You know, another highlight off the ice was opening night with the whole new ownership in place, you know, the ceremony at center ice, realizing that, hey, you know, we're not going to have to worry, you know, whether or not we're going to be here year to year. So that was another highlight, too. But, you know, it's not all negative. You know, I look at the roster. I see a lot of good young pieces. I just think they need more, and hopefully they'll address that in the offseason.
Matt McConnell, voice of the Coyotes, Fox Sports Arizona, with Brad Sussmat. What went wrong then?
Well, I think simply down the stretch, Brad, they couldn't score. They had players that they relied on throughout the season that just kind of dried up. About the only player that was putting pucks in the net, maybe really only two of them, were Captain Shane Doan, who had a pretty good stretch run, and the other player was Kyle Chipchura, who's more of a role guy that, you know, you don't expect to score. But, you know, offensively, it just dried up. If you go back to the beginning of the season, it was a team that was averaging about 3.2 goals per game over the first, you know, dozen games or so. Over the last 10 games of the season, they're averaging around 1.7, 1.8. So defensively, I thought they were okay. I thought they, you know, played pretty well and pretty consistent through the year. But I really do believe that down the stretch, you know, when the offense dried up, their chances dried up as well.
24 games this season, Matt, where the Coyotes surrendered the lead in losses, 13 of those coming after leading in the third period. And so finishing out games was certainly a tone that I sensed in your broadcasts and in just watching the team play. How do you fix that?
Well, you're absolutely right. You know, we would shake our heads on a periodic basis, just at odds or at a loss for how they were not able to close out games. And the numbers that you retorted are, you know, they're blatant numbers that really caused this team to stumble down the stretch and not make the playoffs. But, you know, I think it goes back to the blue line. Maybe it goes back to you know, a group of defensemen and a whole group that really is in transition. If you go back 2 years ago, they had, you know, they had the likes of Adrian Aucoin and Michael Roosevelt and Rusty Klesla, who, you know, and those three players, I believe, you know, they combined for about 2,700 man games of experience. And, you know, and we knew sooner or later there was going to be a transition on the blue line to younger players. And I thought we saw that this year with, you know, the likes of Chris Summers at the end and Michael Stone and guys like Brandon Gormley getting their opportunities. So, you know, for whatever reason, they couldn't close out those games. There were several opportunities, even down the stretch, you know, a misplay by Thomas Greiss in the Edmonton game that forced overtime and they lost a point there, or, you know, the phantom goal early in the season in Toronto, or the puck getting lodged in Mike Smith's goalie pants in Buffalo.
Yep.
It was just bizarre when you look at all of the missed opportunities that this team had.
Well, and Klesla's concussion, you go all the way back to when that happened. That, to me, was a big turning point, too. You know, I mean, so
no, yeah, no question. Rusty getting injured in the preseason, that really put him back. It kind of put the whole team back. And I think when he came back, he probably wasn't the same. I don't think the team thought that his foot speed was really the same. So all of a sudden, not only do you no longer have a Michael Roosevelt and an Adrian Coyne, you've got no Rusty Klesla. And I thought that left a big time void, especially when you're looking at things like penalty kill and the like.
When a team doesn't push it across the finish line at the end of the year, that's where I get concerned in covering sports through the years. I've been a big fan of Dave Tippett. I've been a big fan of Don Maloney. I am not there every day, but I've seen them since day number one. When you have a 7-game losing streak to finish it out, there has to be something that is going on internally, in my opinion, because there's so much that's on the line. Again, I'm not there, but Matt, when I see the way that they finish down the stretch, is there something more here? You may not know, but from your view, is there anything more here than what I've been talking to you about, injuries, missed opportunities, or is there something deeper within this organization that needs to be fixed here in the offseason?
No, in terms of the management structure, I don't think anything's going to happen there. And in fact, I think we're very fortunate to have one of the best general managers, one of the best coaches in the entire circuit. And I do think it was important for them to win that final game last night just to, you know, whether you're going to the playoffs or going into the offseason, you don't want that losing streak to hit 7 games and have that bad taste in your mouth for 5 or 6 months. But I think it's I think this year was a little bit, as it turned out, maybe a little bit of a transition year. It's a little bit ironic too that, you know, the hockey product was always the product that was reliable and rock solid, and we always kind of wondered about the ownership. And this year was kind of the opposite. You know, we've got solid ownership, and you know, the team struggled a little bit and, you know, failed to make the playoffs. So, no, I think what they've got to do in the off season is, you know, they'll reassess here over the first, I'd say, 3-4 weeks. They'll get ready for the draft. They'll get ready for free agency. But you know, if I had a wish list, which I don't, I would love to bring in one more experienced defenseman, and I would also really try to go after a top line forward that can fit in your top six and create offense. I think those are the two glaring needs. I do think that it would probably be good for the team to maybe go a little bit younger, especially on their blue line, because they definitely have the depth. I think a guy like Max Domi, who was a first round pick this past year, and also the Ontario Hockey League Player of the Year, I think it'll be interesting, Brad, to see if he can make the jump and can he fill that second line left wing slot, because he's a heck of a talent. He's a high end offensive guy, and you know, and maybe he's part of the solution as early as next year.
Well, we do know there's one change, and it's coming in June, and it will be the Arizona Coyotes. No longer, last night was the end of saying Phoenix Coyotes. You don't have to do that anymore.
Yeah.
So there's
one
thing.
Yeah, I'm sure I'll call them the Phoenix Coyotes about 100 times a week when we get back on the air in the fall. But right. No, that's exciting, and you know, I think it's an outreach by the team and the organization just to try to further develop their footprint within the state. There's lots of great hockey fans all over the state. We've got a Central Hockey League team up in Prescott and the Arizona Sundogs. So I think it's a great move, and I think it embraces the entire state, not only the Valley. And it should be a lot of fun to make the transition.
Appreciate the time. Great season on your part, Tyson's part, Todd's part, the broadcast crew, and tough circumstances ending early, but we appreciate your time today. Matt, thanks.
Oh, thank you, Brad. Anytime.
It's Matt McConnell, voice of the Phoenix Coyotes, Fox Sports AZ. Brad Sussmat, Sports360AZ.com. We are on AZ Central Sports, a partnership with the Arizona Republic. Appreciate their support. White Mountain Radio and on Twitter, at Brad Sussmat. So there's plenty of content up on Sports360AZ. Today, we're out at ASU where they're tearing apart the stadium. We're at the Coyotes locker room. I'll be at the Suns game tonight. There's high school, college, pro. It's all right there for you at Sports360AZ.com. People say, hey, Sussmat, you're not on Channel 3 anymore. No, I left TV and this is what I'm doing. Sports360AZ.com.